I spent most of the week thinking that there were two different teachings that Jesus shared in this part of the very long Sermon on the Mount. And I thought, all right, I'll talk about that first one. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And this is what I want to say about that. It says, you are. Not you can be, or you will be, or you might be. You are already these things. You are salt, and you are light. And that is not just for this moment, but for the whole world. That's not something you have to work to do or to become. You are. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, don't lose that. That is the first part of the teachings. But then he goes on to talk about the law and the religious authorities. And he says, I'm not here to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And Matthew's very concerned about this. He's very concerned about writing within the Jewish tradition. And I thought, well, that's a different sermon for a different day. And yet this week, I don't know if you've been following the news, but this week we've been hearing a lot about things related to law and politics. And the more I've been thinking about things this week, the less I've been convinced that he's saying two different things. A few years ago, probably about the time I started at Leaside, I was talking with a colleague, and he said, I wish I had been old enough to be active during the civil rights movement. Take part in what they were trying to achieve. Something so big, so compelling that you couldn't choose otherwise. And I said, are you sure we're not in a time like that right now? As the last few years have gone by, I've become more and more convinced that we are, that we're in a critical time when we're called for brave action and huge risks and huge cost to ourselves if we make the choice that so few people and churches did in the past or do now. Because most people during the civil rights movement or during the rise of Nazism in the 20s and 30s or at any of the other critical times in our world history, so few people saw it as compelling and requiring action and important enough to risk everyone, everything. Those directly impacted, those forced to make that choice, often did. But for the rest of us, who have the choice not to act, it's far too easy not to be complacent about how things are and what might happen, to be busy, to focus on the immediate needs and worries and problems in our lives. And I have sinned in this way. I have been complacent. I've allowed myself to be too busy. and I focused on the immediate needs, the work and children and family, and I've allowed fear to stop me from raising my voice or being present at times when, regardless of whether it would make a difference, it still matters the choice we make. So what am I talking about right now? Well, unfortunately, I think there's more than one thing. There's climate change. And that's big enough that it's too much to talk about now. But the impacts of that require great sacrifice, great willingness to risk, and a huge necessity to let go of our complacency and recognize what is happening. Not just sometime down the road, but right now around the world. But that's not it. We also see the dehumanizing language resurfacing again and again in the discourse that we use ourselves and we allow others to use. And this leads to the erosion of democracy, to the limitation of freedom to dissent, to the erosion of the freedom of the press and other methods of accountability. And this isn't about partisanship or a particular party. And it's not even just a political issue, but politics and our world in the biggest sense, and what we allow to become normal. So, John Blake for the CNN wrote an article earlier this week called "There's a Painful Black History Month Lesson in Trump's Acquittal." He said, "There's a bitter irony in the fact that Trump's acquittal took place during Black History Month. If you are furious or dejected because you think Trump's trial was a farce, here's a quick reply from some black people. Welcome to our world. Republican senators acquitted Trump despite strong evidence that he abused the power of his office by trying to coerce a foreign country to interfere in a U.S. presidential election. The lopsided result didn't surprise some black commentators. There's always been a different legal system for powerful whites than for other Americans," says Jonathan Walton. Jonathan Walton wrote an article in December that said, "Ain't nothing gonna happen." And they talk about jury nullification. It's what happens when juries deliberately reject evidence or refuse to apply the law because it's contrary to their beliefs or sense of fairness. The president's trial is not an outlier. The American legal system today also still favors white men. And Jesus said, "I am not here to abolish the law, not a single part of a letter, but to fulfill it like we do not." Aaron Wary in today's Star wrote an article that says, "U.S. politics may be in a state at the moment, but Canadians can't afford to be smug about it." The dysfunction in D.C. has deep roots, and we're seeing some of the same warning signs here. He says, "Just last week, Bloc Québécois leader Yves-François Blanchet casually questioned the credibility of federal judges when the issue of minority rights briefly became a point of government, and Quebec. And what else have we heard this week? A news story that Canada is increasingly becoming a target for foreign interference, particularly among social media and related to elections. Yesterday's Star included an article, Toronto City Councillor says he ignores bylaw infractions. If they vote for us, they're volunteers and they donate money. Last weekend, full-page ads attacking teachers appeared in the Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, and National Post, all paid for by a mystery group calling itself Vaughan Working Families, and which is likely being traced to one wealthy person who supports the Tories. We have choices to make about whether we will be complacent and quiet and focus on our busy lives and all the good things and all the challenges in our busy lives, or whether we will take the risks of being salt and light for the world. If we will take the risks of being who we are, calling for righteousness and justice in what we do as a country, as a community, as individuals. You are already salt. You are already light. And that salt and light is a gift for the world. Not something you need to gain or to achieve, but something we need to be. We need our willingness to speak and our willingness to listen. Our willingness to talk even when it's difficult and we disagree. Our willingness to see the people behind what is happening. Our willingness to speak up, to write the letters, to sign the petitions, to support the organizations, the charities, the advocacy groups, the press that are working to try to uphold righteousness and justice in different ways. And whatever we do, we have to remember that this life is sacred, not our individual lives. They are too. But this life, each person, each living thing is sacred. You are salt. You are light already. Let's allow ourselves to be that for the world.